Thankful for each one that are here this morning. Above all, desire and appreciate every time the Lord's willing to meet with us. That's what we need here today. The Lord bless His Word, ask for your prayers. The Lord would feed us, would challenge and encourage us. I'd like to begin in the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Consider the thought for a little while of a victorious faith. Hebrews chapter 10, the 23rd verse says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." You know, I believe it's one of the most valuable possessions that we have. We talk about faith, we hear about faith, we've sung about faith. No doubt all of our lives, many of us, there's so much that's involved with faith. Sometimes we can sometimes categorize it or minimize it down from what it really is, but it touches every aspect of our lives. And without it, it is the foundation and the starting point to even be able to come to God and to be able to please Him. For without faith, what? It is impossible to please Him without faith. This says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us seize hold of it and hold on to it at all cost. Not to give it up, to realize or think about the Scripture that speaks of truth. That says, buy the truth and sell it not. Realize when you have something valuable. Realize whenever there's something that is priceless, you're not going to give it up quickly, are you? You're not going to let it go easily. You're not going to give it up at a bargain or at a cheap price. Yet the enemy is attacking today those things that are most valuable and most precious to us. And I want to exhort us this morning, hold fast. Be prepared for the battle. Be prepared to defend the things that are most valuable to us, because there's someone that has his sights already set on it. If the foundations, the Scripture, Psalms 11 and verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The enemy wants to be able to undermine the very foundation of our salvation, the very foundation of what we believe and of who we are and of what we understand God to be. You know, if the enemy can begin to undermine and crack and crumble the foundation of our faith in God, He's got us. The building will soon fall if the foundation crumbles. So let us hold fast that profession of faith without any wavering, without any back and forth. Folks, let's have something settled, something that is established in this, our present day. In this time that we're living in today, when it seems like everything is subject to negotiation, isn't it? In the eyes of our world, everything is up to negotiation or reconsideration. It seems that there's nothing settled anymore. There's nothing that's fixed, that's sacred, that's off limits anymore. It's all open to consideration, to whatever way the wind is blowing, to whatever way the ideology and the thinking of the world may take it. It's as a tide of the water that moves. It's like a current that moves. That many times, if you've ever been to a beach somewhere, it says, caution, stay out of the water, rip tides. Because there's a current, there's a pull of something there that's so strong, if you get into it, you're going to be swept off your feet. It doesn't matter how good of a swimmer you are. If you get into too strong of a current, you're going to be swept off our feet. You know, if we're not careful, any one of us, it doesn't matter how strong of a swimmer we are. It doesn't matter how grounded I think I am in understanding of theology and doctrine. If but by the grace of God and an unwavering faith in Him, I'm going to be swept off my feet. The pressures, the forces, the influences of this world are too great for me. But you know, there's an anchor. There's something for us to hold us. There's something for us, the Scripture talks about, a hope that we have. That's what? It is an anchor of the soul. It'll hold us steadfast whenever the winds are blowing and the storm is raging and the ships are being shipwrecked around us. Folks, there's something that can hold us. Not just today, not just this week, but it can hold us whenever I look out over my life. And I look at it sometimes with uncertainty and wonder, what all will I face? And I hear the gray head saying, you realize the kind of things your generation's going to have to deal with. And I realize it's true, and I realize I don't know how we're going to face the things that perhaps are coming on this earth. But yet I don't despair. I don't lose hope. Why? Because there's something that I can anchor myself to. There's something that'll hold me fast. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Folks, don't cut away the anchor. Don't cut away the rope that would hold us in the midst of the storm. Our faith in God. I'm thankful for things that don't move. I'm thankful for things that don't shift and settle. And think about John the Baptist. Remember whenever it seemed that there were those that were perhaps disappointed in John and the way that events had turned, and Jesus looked to them and said, what did you go out to see? What did you expect to see in John? A reed shaken in the wind? Is that what you expect to see? There's a man of God that had faith in God, that believed in God, that whenever it came his time, he stood firm. Whenever it came his time to face the enemy, whenever his faith was even put to the test, and if you'll remember, he said unto Jesus, Lord, I need something here. I need a little reinforcement here, but I realize it's my faith that's going to hold me. It's my belief and understanding, Lord. Though everything around me looks like you've forsaken me, I know in whom I have believed. And I am convinced, I am persuaded. It holds me firm and fixed through the midst of it. So I don't have to be bowled over. There are things that can come in life so quickly. Yeah. By a phone call. By just a split second that can just about wipe us out. You know, in those times, in those moments, we need something on hand. I need to be able to go into that time with an anchor that's fixed. I can seek the Lord at that time, and well, I should, and better. But I need to go into those times with something that's going to hold me. I need to be able to have something before I get into the storm. The best time to cast anchor is before the storm hits. So that the anchor is already there and it's already set when the winds begin to blow. So may the Lord help us this morning that we be challenged in the face of everything that's challenging us. In the face of everything that's coming our way. Don't lose hope. Don't lose courage. Don't get discouraged. Folks, now is not the time to just close up within ourselves and just wait for it to all end and say, woe is me. There is a faith that's greater than that I want to read about. There is a faith that is victorious, that overcomes the world, that gives victory through the difficult times and places. Whenever Daniel faced the test of his life, whenever the decree was made that any man that prays to any being or person or God other than the king will be cast into the lion's den. You know, that's not the time that Daniel started trying to get a hold of faith. Daniel already had a faith in God. It started before that time. That was whenever he was older, in his older years of life, way before that even, whenever he was taken into captivity. You remember they said, even at the very outset, you're going to have to eat the king's meat, you're going to have to drink the king's wine, do all these things, and he said, no. I won't. Why? It's foolish not to do that kind of thing unless you believe in someone greater. Unless you have a faith in God that'll hold you, and so he did. And he believed in God. And the Lord stood by him. The Lord proved himself at that time. The Lord proved himself early on in his life. You look at David. Whenever David went out into the battlefield, it wasn't Goliath that came and picked the fight with David. Goliath was already out there presenting himself, causing the children of Israel to cow down in fear. But what did David do? If you read the way it accounts of it in 1 Samuel 17, it sounds like he hasted unto, or he went running at it. Do I face the battles of my life that way? Lord, help me now. I can talk about faith. The song says, life is easy when you're up on the mountain. But it talks about, I don't remember all the wording of it, but then things change and you're down in the valley. That's when faith's really put to the test. That's when the test of faith really comes along our way. But whenever David, who had already proven the Lord, had already, when the lion and the bear came his way, Lord, I know you're faithful. Lord, I know you've proven yourself. I know that you'll stand by me. So whenever the giant came up his way, there wasn't an option for David. I don't believe that it was an option in his mind. Well, let's just ignore him. Let's just hope he'll go away. Let's just sit here for a while and cower down and maybe he won't see me. He said, no, you defied my God. How dare you, in my words, how dare you defy my God? You're not getting by with this. You're not going to be able to defy my God. You know, there are things that would rise up in our lives to defy our God. There are things that would rise up, philosophies of the world, mindsets, ideas, thoughts that are contrary to God, that would try to defy our faith in who He is. Lord, help us to meet those giants with the kind of faith that David had, to be able to run forth knowing in whom he believed, not just cowering down, but as Daniel, we were talking about, received the word of the decree. Did he go and shut up the windows, hide in the closet, and say, I'm just going to wait for this thing to pass? You know what he did? He kept doing the same thing he had always done. And Lord, help us to do the same. Whenever things decay around us, whenever things get worse, Lord, help us that I be rooted and grounded and settled and established. That's what it means to not waver. The Lord wants us to have a faith whenever the king's decree goes forth that I don't waver. I don't shut the doors. I don't hide who I am. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ in that case. Whenever Paul went forth into one of the most wicked places of the time, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Do we believe it? Is it working in our lives so that I believe it and I want to prove it to the world around me? Jesus told the disciples in preparing them for what was to face them. You read this in the 21st chapter of Luke. He said, settle it therefore in your hearts. He said that you'll be taken before, let's just turn and read it so I don't butcher it. Luke 21. Verse 14. We'll begin in verse 12. Before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. I don't believe that settling in your hearts was just be persuaded now that you're not going to think about what's going to happen. But I believe what he's saying is have it settled in your heart. Have your faith in me settled and established. Don't leave it with a question mark on the end of it. Don't leave it with questions and shadows. Settle it today. You know, this is the time to get it settled. This is the day to get it settled. If ever there's going to be a day, It's now. So let's get it settled in our hearts. This is what I'm going to do. By the help and the grace of God, Lord, I believe who you are. Settle it now. Don't wait until you're brought up before the kings and the magistrates then. And I've been living a shabby life up to this point. And I've been up and down and all of this. And then I get into a time, and we can find ourselves in these places in our lives sometimes. I get into a place and all of a sudden I'm faced by something bigger than me. And I say, Lord, that's not what I wanted to do. Lord, that's not the decision that I wanted to make. I needed to have something settled before I ever got here. I needed to be able to have something fixed in my heart. Settled and established. A conviction. A belief. A faith in who God is and what His Word says. That doesn't move by what people say. That's not changed by what the Supreme Court rules. But that's settled and established and unchangeable as the Word of God is. So He said at that time, I'll give you what you need. Don't worry about it. You just live true and faithful and steadfast. Don't waver. Be unchanging. Don't allow yourself to be blown to and back and forth by every wind of doctrine. Just be established. And I'll be there for you. You know, whenever we stand for the Lord, through grace, with meekness, He'll stand by us in our time of need. The three Hebrew children proved that, didn't they? Whenever it came their time, whenever they could have thought about before, you know, if they were of a mindset to do this, a mindset that I've seen in myself in the past, and say, you know, we could just go ahead and kneel down. Lord, you know we're not praying. You know we're not. We're just trying not to be quite as conspicuous here. I'm just going to crouch down a little bit. And maybe everyone won't see me. But Lord, you know that I'm still doing the same thing, Lord. You know that I'm not, in my heart, I'm not bowing down and praying. But you know they had something so settled and fixed that whenever it came the time that the music played, I don't think you saw them slumping. I think they stood straight and firm. They had something they were standing for. And whenever they were brought before the king, what did they answer? O king, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. You know, I really don't have to think about this too long. I really don't need to go rehearse what's the answer I'm going to give the king. How am I going to say it, king? Here's how it is. Here's the reality of my conviction. You know, it wasn't said even accusatory or this is where I stand. This is what I believe. This is the conviction of my heart that's settled and established, and it doesn't matter. You keep talking, but it's not going to change it. We already have it settled. We're not careful to answer you. We know the God that we serve, and we know that He's able to deliver us. Is that where faith stops? Lord, I'm giving you one chance. And if I don't see you come through, that's it. But He says, even if not, even if He chooses not, it doesn't change who God is. It doesn't change anything about God. Even if He should see fit that He wants to take me out in the flames, so be it. You know, that's what faith is. Faith is about a relationship with God. It's about knowing who God is. It's about knowing, Lord, I know your thoughts. I know your mind. I know your thoughts that you think towards me. Though I may not see it. The song says, God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trust and commit thy all into His hand. Sometimes we can get so worked up and I want to figure it out. I want to be able to have all the answers. I want to understand. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We all want, and sometimes the Lord will reveal a part of the picture to us. But even if He doesn't, it doesn't change God. It doesn't change who He is. So Lord, help us to have a faith that doesn't move. That I just commit it to Him. I'd like to look at the 8th or the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You think, well, what does that have to do with faith? You know, James talked about faith and works. He said, show me your works without your faith, and I'll show you my works by, or my faith by my works. One like that. They're connected, the two. You know, of all that we could say of faith, and all that we can talk about faith, and little sayings or cliches or whatever about faith, you know, faith is something that is a working faith in our lives, every day of our life. It's a working faith of a relationship in God. And you know, children, young people, you know, it starts even at very young ages. I prayed to the Lord and I saw the Lord answer my prayer. I was so encouraged by the testimony of what the Lord has done for Tanea and how He's already answered prayer for her. You know, that's encouraging. And that's something that hopefully we all have those places in our lives that we can look back on and say, the Lord met me there. Whenever I had a time of need, I can remember as a teenager, I'd have a sickness or I'd have a pain or something. And I can remember on several specific instances without, for time's sake, going into them all. I can remember what I was dealing with, what I was looking at, the pain that I was feeling, calling for prayer and being anointed and prayed for and seeing the Lord turn the situation around. You know, that begins building faith. It begins building faith in God. I've got some Ebenezer stones now. I've seen places that the Lord has worked in my life. So, the Scripture says, He is faithful because He is faithful who hath promised. Have we proved Him faithful in our lives? Of places that the Lord has met us and helped us and come through for us at times of need. At times whenever it seemed like, Lord, You're too late. This already needed to happen. I already had to. And then I see the Lord work. And I begin to realize a little better, you know, it was just in time. It was just right. Whenever the Lord was it 3 days late for Lazarus? He was right on time, wasn't He? He's never a day late. He always moves right in time. But it doesn't seem like it to me. Lord, help me in those times that my faith would hold strong. He is faithful that is promised. We have promises in the Word of God. I've heard it said before, 7,000 some promises that have been counted in the Word of God. You read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I believe we read this Wednesday, of those of the heroes of faith, and one of their accomplishments was they obtained promises. You know, that can be an accomplishment of ours as well. We can obtain promises. The promises have been given if we, by faith, we'll claim those in our time of need. So faith is more than words. Faith is more than a theory. It's more than theology. It goes deeper than that. It works in our lives. And it will be evidenced by works. It will be evidenced, reminded of a debate that was held between an evolutionist, an atheist who was defending evolution, and a creationist. And during the course of debate, they were talking about whether they believe in God and they believe His Word. And the creationist is saying, yes, well, absolutely, we believe the Word of God is true and it's absolute. And he said, no, you don't. I can prove to you that you don't. Because the Bible says that God heals, doesn't it? Well, yes, it does. If you really believe that, why wouldn't you just pray to Him? If you really believe that, why wouldn't you just seek God to take care of your sickness? Lord, help us. If I really believe in God, you know, at the time of my test, it'll be evidenced. Lord, help me to have a faith that's put to work. A faith that's manifested in our lives. And so it says here, even of covetousness and of contentment. There's a connection between that and faith. Because didn't the Bible say, the Lord knows what things you have need of, and that He'll provide those things that you have need of. So don't take any thought of tomorrow. Don't worry about all these other things. The Lord knows that you have need of it, and He'll provide it for you. The saying, it's easier said than done. You know it's where faith is. The works that are manifested by faith. Whenever I get into a place in my life, Lord, I'm struggling here. I'm praying for this thing. I want this. I think I need this. Lord, help me to reach a place of contentment by faith, knowing that You know the things that I have need of, knowing that You've heard the prayers that we have prayed. We have this confidence then. If we ask anything in His name, He heareth us. See, it's a promise. It's the Word of God. That's where my faith reaches out and grasps hold, and it helps me to be able to produce the works in my life. That's not a bad word, by the way, works. Works without faith is wrong. Works without the power of God unto salvation is empty and worthless. But if I have a working faith in God, folks, I want it to work. I want it in the times of my trial to work or produce works. I want it to be able to produce something more than just an idea in those times. I need it to be able to produce a peace. Whenever I'm facing the trial, whenever I'm facing a difficult place, Lord, it seems like everything around me is decaying and I'm praying about it and I know I'm supposed to pray, but I just feel in a turmoil. You ever feel that way? Lord, I need this to change here. I feel the distress of it. What did David do whenever he felt that? Whenever David was overwhelmed, his prayer was, when I am overwhelmed, then I will cry, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Whenever the people were talking of taking his life and the women and children had been carried up out of the city and it seemed that things could get no worse, David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself. I wonder what he said. I wonder what he recalled. You know, we have so much. The things that are written before time, Romans 15, were written for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You know, these things apply to my life. These stories that we read about over and over and over, whenever God stood by those who stood by Him, you know, it's for me too. For me to be able to go back. So when I feel the distress, whenever I don't feel the peace within that I need, let's go seek the Lord. Let's turn to the Word of God. Let's encourage ourselves in the Lord to recall what the Lord has done in our own lives. What He's done over and over in so many others' lives. To know, to remind myself, as I need to be reminded so often, Lord, I know You've told me before, but this is a new battle now. This is a new test I'm facing now. So renew my courage, renew my faith and my strength for this battle. And He'll give us strength as is our day. He has a track record. This says in the Scripture we just read, of the promise, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. What is it going to produce in us? The ability to say, not timidly, but to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, it's going to take something for us to be able to say that. In the face of a world that scoffs and mocks and laughs at it, to be able to say, the Lord is my helper. Whenever the enemy was coming up against, I don't remember it just right now, which king it was, and he was threatening, trying to strike fear into their hearts. And he said, it was letting them know, every other city and every other people have fallen before me. Who is the God that will be able to deliver you from my hand? And he said, if anyone tries to tell you otherwise, don't believe him. Because it's not so. It hasn't been the case, you know, in the face of that, in the face of unbelief in our world today. we can have something on hand to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember Matthew 8 and 26. You remember the account of Jesus in the ship, the disciples with him, and he was asleep and the storm came up, their test of that hour, and their faith faltered. They began to get afraid and they came crying out to Jesus, and his response to them, oh ye of little faith, what happened to your faith? What happened? Is your faith only active whenever the seas are calm? Is that the only time that you have faith in me whenever you're not being tested? Faith is supposed to kick in and be there for you in the time of your test, in the time of your need. Scripture says of the unbelief of the world, what of that unbelief? Shall the unbelief of some make the word of God of none effect? Nay, God forbid. There's something that's stronger and more unchanging than that. No matter what the world says, you know, we can feel the pressure sometimes to be able to convince the world. We're not able to convince the world. Only the Spirit of God is able to convince the world. It's the office of the Holy Spirit to convince the world or to convict the world. We're to live. That's not to say we don't give a testimony, that we're not prepared to give an answer to every man of the hope that lies within us. But sometimes I can feel pressured by the arguments that they say, that's just foolish. Your logic is so outdated there. Science has already proven long ago that this earth is so many millions of years old. You got to do something better than that. You got to have something better on hand of an argument than to say it's 6,000 years old. Come on. I have a PhD here. How are you going to stand up? What education do you have to argue with my years of research and study and science and the consensus of, what is it they say of climate change now? Climate has changed since earlier this week. It was raining. Now it's not. But it's something that they say is, it's a doomsday thing, is the climate is going to change and global warming, and you've heard my theory on global warming, it's absolutely true. The earth will melt with a fervent heat, and the whole world, the globe, will be burned and will be warmed. You know, there's something beyond the consensus of men. There's something beyond, if we don't step in and intervene here, this whole thing's just going to decay around us. This whole thing is just going to come to an end. I've got a faith in something beyond that. My faith goes beyond the consensus of 1,000 scientists. My faith is just a simple faith in God. You can laugh at it. You can say it's ignorant. You can say it's uneducated. But I want to encourage us this morning. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. There's nothing wrong with saying it's the Word of God. And I believe it. I may not be able to give you an argument to your satisfaction. I may not be able to convince you and change your mind. Oh, I can remember as a child going to school, and I had a heart that some of my classmates would be saved and their families. And I remember talking to them and thinking, if I could just get... And they, some were going to other churches of other beliefs, and I thought, you know, and I told him, if you could get your pastor, and we'll get my pastor, and we'll get them together, and they can argue. And we'll get them together, and they can have a debate. And I thought, surely, they'll be convinced. Surely, as soon as the truth is presented, they'll say, oh, there it is. We're not able to convince the world. Many times, we'll encounter those that say, oh, I hear what you're saying, but I don't believe it. I hear what you're saying, but this is the way I see the Scripture. Don't lose faith. Don't allow your faith to falter. We've got to have something that goes beyond the opinions and ideas of men. I've got something settled and established. It's an understanding based on my relationship with the Lord. on my understanding of who God is through how He has revealed Himself to me in my life, that you can't take it from me. Just as the blind man that received his sight, he said, I don't know whether he's a sinner or whether he's not a sinner. You're the religious ones. You're the ones that are presenting the argument here. But one thing I can tell you, I used to be blind, and I'm looking at you now. You can't take that away from me. You can't argue that away from me by theory, by intellect, by any other way that you try to undermine. Folks, we're going to have something that's based not just on hearsay, but on experience and relationship and conviction for ourselves that I've gotten it settled. I've settled it long ago. I'm convinced of it, and it doesn't matter what you say. Oh, may the Lord help us. Hope you understand this morning my burden. I believe it's for us as God's people in this, our time. Have it settled. Settle it therefore in your hearts. The only way we're going to settle it with that close walk with the Lord. Lord, draw me closer to you. With a heart that's honest and searching and sincere. Looking unto the Word of God and open to what the Lord would teach. The world talks about being open-minded. And so we should. But the question is, what are we going to be open-minded to? Are we going to be open-minded to the Lord and to the Spirit's dealings with our life and our heart? Or am I going to be open-minded to the many, many voices of the world around me? I choose to be open-minded by the grace and help of God to the one that was there when the world was founded. To the one that was there that laid the foundation of the world. To the one that was there that predated by many years, by eternity in fact. Those that would gainsay otherwise. Those that would try to undermine the gospel message. I choose. Lord, I want to believe. I want to anchor my life in that. In His Word. And the things that He says and has given and has taught, I believe it. And for me, that can settle it. So may the Lord help us this morning that we have that which is settled today in our hearts and in our lives. You pray for me. Amen.